Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I have for you today someone who's a miracle in my life and someone who has been my mentor, someone who got me to start tithing, which is one of the most important things in the world. And someone that I never dreamed I would be doing a radio show with in 1982 when I used to get up at 7:30 to watch you on TV. I never dreamed.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun?
It's so fun, Terry. And, you know, at the time that you were on TV, I had wanted to do a radio show for years, and coupled with that was the most debilitating, paralyzing fear you could imagine, and people all around me telling me I wasn't ready and things like that, and also I didn't see a place for me, and you just came on like gangbusters on TV, and you were saying exactly verbatim the things that I was saying to my students in my classes on television.
Wow.
And you were getting away with it. And no.
Well, I was telepathic. I was reading your mind.
Is that what it is?
Maybe.
You were the sign that yes, it can be done, and I am so grateful to you for that.
Well, it's a pleasure because I had to do that. That was, you know, my purpose, my mission. It was something, you know, when we're compelled to do something that we need to follow. And you know, a lot of times people have their dream and their vision of what they need to do, but they don't follow their heart. And they don't, you know, there's a Pinocchio, which was one of my favorite movies as a child. And it even got me, because I didn't really have much religious training or anything, it got me to wish on the star. You know, starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight.
Yes.
Wish I may, wish I might have this wish I wish tonight. And what I was really doing was praying to God, but since I didn't know much about God, I was praying to this star, and when I would pray, they would happen. It was kind of amazing, but in Pinocchio, there's Jiminy Cricket, and he says, let your conscience be your guide. And that is such a profound statement, because if we let our inner guidance guide us instead of our mind and the minds of others, then we can use our mind and we can really fulfill our divine destiny, what we really came here to do.
Well, Terry, I think that also just takes complete surrender. It's I am presence, God in me, take complete possession of me and what I'm here to do.
Yes.
And
that
all
is
conditions
surrender
in my life.
Yes. You do that so well. And that's true. And that's the hard thing, because I used to think, someone told me back when I had the television ministry, a psychic, that I would become a humanitarian. And I was so upset, because I thought that meant I'm going to be a beggar in the street. That thought that if I surrender to God, God's going to make me poor, God's going to ruin my life, God's going to take everything I want away, because we have this idea or concept of an angry, vengeful, mean God that doesn't want us to be happy. And if God wants to be happy, it means we have to be miserable. And that's not true. It doesn't even make sense, because we're not even that way with our own children if we're loving parents.
Well, also, though, Terry, I think that being a humanitarian is, you know, I have a different picture of that. To me, you are a humanitarian. And you are a humanitarian, you are a humanitarian.
Yeah, someone call me their shero.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
A shero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you are, my darling. But not only that, you're like the sun.
Mm.
And you're the one that tells that story about the race where the really inferior appearing guy won because and somebody said, how did you beat him at the end? And he said, I just didn't hold anything back for later.
I never said that, but that's a good one.
Oh, I thought it was you that told that story. I didn't save anything for later.
Well, I do tell that one. I did that with my, I used to think I should hold back my best information till a future time when I was giving my talks mm-hmm. to when I didn't have anything. So I was basically cheating the people who showed up, and I was believing in poverty. So I changed my mind. I thought, I'm going to give my best, and I call it my million-dollar talk every time. I'm going to give them the best that I have. And then what I found is when we empty the chalice, when we empty the bucket out of what we've got, more comes in.
Yeah, I can't help it.
Can't help it. It has to.
Well, also, we have to know that there's no lid on it. There
mm-hmm.
is ever-increasing perfection. That is God's way.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
And
yeah, there's no lid.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I've thought so many times when it looked like, you know, I had my life just the way I wanted it, and then I lost everything, and then I would just surrender and say to God, well, I guess it isn't what I thought it was. What do you think it is?
Uh-huh.
And then uh-huh. I would get a whole new level of good.
Oh, yes.
I've had that happen over and over, haven't you?
I have. You know, I think about, there was someone told me a story yesterday where I was speaking, was that her mother was always afraid that she wouldn't have enough. And she said her mother passed away last year with plenty of money in the bank. And if you think about it, all those years of worry were for naught. All those and what is worry? We're terrorizing ourselves. It's faith in our fears rather than faith in God.
And it's wasting our time not having a good time, too.
Absolutely. We're being miserable.
Oh.
It's so interesting. I picked up this book at a used bookstore, The Secret Teachings of Jesus, about the some of those lost books. Like there's the book of Thomas, there's the book of John, a different one, the book of Mary, book of, you know, the Gospel of Judas and all these. And these were to be excluded and destroyed so that they were not to be put in the Bible that was agreed upon in ancient times. And so in these great thoughtful souls, instead of destroying them, they went and buried them. Which they've been found, and more things have been found. And there was a statement of Jesus that was, and it's so interesting, because it's actually written by the people who were closest to him, not people years later, who were getting hearsay many times. And a lot of it was what was said, but some a lot was missing. And he really said that basically with this fear, and said the words, people are denying themselves pleasure.
Hmm.
And he's even mentioning that because we're pleasure seekers. Happiness is our nature. We are bliss. So we're supposed to be happy.
And so many times we've robbed ourselves. I have an example for me. I used to go into these just paroxysms of self-hatred, and they had to do with feeling fat. And
you too? I did too.
Oh, it was just horrible. I remember a time when my husband and I and our two little boys went to the beach in San Francisco, and I was wearing a bikini for the first time after I had my second son. And Terry, I don't know why I allowed pictures to be taken at that time, because I was beating myself up so horribly. I mean, we went out for a beautiful breakfast. Here I was with my beloved twin flame. I had these two beautiful children. It was Sunday. The sun was shining. And I was missing all of it because I was beating myself up for being fat. And lo and behold, about 5 years later, somebody comes up with this movie, and I looked at myself, and I was a beautiful young girl.
Yep.
With a flat stomach. I wore a size 7. I was adorable, and it was just because I could look at myself like someone else, and yet I had wasted all of that time hurting myself.
I know, I did the same thing, and because my first husband would always tell me I was fat and I was ugly and all this. And then years later looking at pictures, I was slender, sweet, and beautiful.
And blonde.
Woo-hoo! Well, that's by the help of the wonders of science.
But not only that, Terry, not only that, you know, the reason he did that is so you wouldn't leave him. He didn't want you to know how great you were.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, and it's so prevalent, people doing that to each other.
Wow.
That's why he did it.
Oh, wow. And so eventually I left.
Good.
You know, I did, but it was like, I know, and isn't that funny? Because it drives people away. Because, well, I don't know if I ever told you once about the maestro, and I had planned that in my next life I was going to be a temperamental opera singer.
No.
Because I thought I'd done everything in this life I'd ever wanted to do by these wonderful teachings that we have and we share with people. But I thought, well, I was getting kind of bored with a lot of stuff. I said, well, what will I do next time? What will I do in the next life? I thought, oh, I'll be a temperamental opera singer, because that'll be, you know, men will bring me flowers and I could wear these beautiful clothes and sing this, you know, have this really good time. So after 50, and I was living up in Washington on my farm and such, I thought, well, you know what? Why not do it now? So, and I had had lessons before and I had sung, but I always had a couple of major problems with it, even though I had some so-called good teachers. So anyway, just doing our mystical, magical stuff I was told about a great teacher. One of my students told me about the maestro. So I called him up, made an appointment, went right up, and he wasn't cheap. He was expensive, you know? So, and he always said a $5 an hour teacher can tell you what you do wrong. He says, isn't that great? I tell you what you do right. So he was in this, he had taught anybody that was anybody. He'd been in New York and all this. Well, anyway, I didn't know any Italian. I didn't know how to sing opera. And then I had he says, don't you worry, I'll train your voice. And so just the way he did it. And he never criticized me. He never judged me. He never, what I did wrong, he never even asked me if I ever practiced, and I didn't for the first year. But he never said, oh, you didn't, he never used shame to try and get me to be good or to practice. And even if I had to call and cancel, he didn't care because he got his money up front. And he never said, and then I could always schedule for another time, but he never said, well, why? I never had to lie, never had to make excuses. And then when I would sing, he would have me sing what I like, but he'd have me go over these exercises. And I remember one time saying, how am I going to learn Italian? I don't even know Italian. He says, well, neither do the Italians. He would always make it positive. And he was a metaphysician. Well, after years and finally starting to practice, because I started to enjoy it and my voice, and I loved Puccini arias, and so I sang Puccini arias, and my voice even, in fact, even yesterday I sang La Boheme, Quando Men Vo from La Boheme to a couple of people standing around, and it's like I could sing, but I realized I didn't like the other operas, and I didn't want to live my life on the stage doing the same shows over and over again, because I like variety. But so after all this work, I realized I didn't like opera. And I was so glad I didn't have to wait till my next life to find that out. But the maestro taught with only positive affirmation, only positive reinforcement. And he is just, he brought out the best. And that's why we don't need to shame ourselves and beat ourselves up to be good, or to shame other people and beat them up to make them, you know, be good people. We are good people in our heart, that we are souls, and all souls are beautiful and perfect in every way. All we're lacking is perfect understanding, and we've been taught and told something's wrong with us, and so other people are going to fix it. So there. I live my next life in the present. Now I'm planning for my next part of my life, because we have one life that continues forever. And what we're doing right now is creating our next life. That means our next embodiment. That means our next unfoldment. That means because you can't die, you live forever. We're already immortal and eternal. So that, but we have the power of free will choice as to how we want to be and how we want to feel and how we want to live and where we want to live and as we want to be.
You know what, Terry?
What?
I think death was sort of made up.
Yep.
Because people didn't want to remember what they've done.
That's interesting.
And that they wanted a fresh start but could not forgive themselves, and so death was invented that way. But I think we have come to a time where we can transform with the light into that next evolution and come and go from our body at will and appear however we choose to appear, because I tell you, my soul's goal, and it has been consciously since I was about 30, I really did a deep, deep, deep soul searching when I turned 30. And I said, what do I want the rest of my life to be about? And I said, well, I want to be the kind of channel of healing that Christ was.
Yes.
And but I didn't want to only do that. I wanted to precipitate. I wanted to do the miracles. I wanted to do the loaves and the fishes. I wanted to walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead, operate outside of time and space, roller skate, precipitate, bilocate. I wanted to do all the Ascended Master miracles. And that's what I want to continually transmute into.
Right.
As I learn my lessons, as I get more light, as I give more service. And ultimately, that's to give the most possible cosmic service to all life, the most upliftment that I can give.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And I think that's what this planet is for. It's a school for the ascension.
I agree. It is, actually. And that's the whole purpose of everything. It's called God realization. And that God realization comes when it becomes as we realize ourselves and we realize our relationship with God, and it says to be as gods. And there are a lot of different stories about how humans at one time didn't die, and then how the process, and it's interesting, and it's in a lot of different kind of, like, not just cultures, but different teachings. And that sense of, even when I was reading, the book I told you I got from the, what's it called? It's not really a thrift shop. It's the Bodhi bookstore in Hollywood, but they've got a used bookstore in the back. And I do like thrift shops too, and yard sales, all that stuff. But the secret teachings of Jesus and the Gnostics, and this one, the really secret teachings of John, gives such an awesome teaching of how human beings came into being. And how then they started dying because they had such great powers that the envious or jealous ones made them garments made out of earth and fire and the elements that made a prison for them. And what that really means is, and that we're actually more powerful than the universe because we're part of God, and that we are spiritual beings, that we our real home is the spiritual world. So it's when we start to really, as we realize who we are through divine knowledge, because the Savior is someone who brings us knowledge of who we are, as we apply it, then the material world, in a sense, no longer exists. Because we are who we are spiritually. And when we're fully who we are spiritually, that means truly realized children of God, we act God-like in every way. We have God-like consciousness. And at that point, whatever we want to call it, we have ascended. And there are stories of people who basically... that's really kind of fun in Vedic teaching from India, how there was this one saint, Tukaram. I have the movies. They were really good, too. I'm going to give you a copy.
I'm writing down Tukaram.
Tukaram. And there's these movies.
Would you spell it?
T-U-K-A-R-U-M, Tukaram. And he was from South India. And at the end of the movie, he's completely so much love. He's just so giving, so loving, so humble, so beautiful. He just is complete radiance. They send from the spiritual world a swan in the shape of a swan that comes to pick him up. And he invites his wife to go along because she's at home. And she's always ridiculing him. And, you're stupid, you don't know anything, you don't make any money. So he says, okay, he always just loves her. So he goes and he gets on this aerial swan that comes to pick him up from the other plane. He doesn't die. He just goes, the body and everything, because his body's no longer material. Because there's no heaviness or density in it. It is purely who he is. And then his wife comes, sees him fly off and goes, oh, he was telling the truth. But she, it just shows. And then there's others.
But she wouldn't go with him?
She wouldn't go with him. Because she didn't believe that he was who he was, because he was just her husband who didn't bring her enough money.
I have seen so many people do that in their marriages. They would have something that was so far above what they really asked God for.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it didn't look like they expected and had their nose up against it, they didn't see it. Like, you couldn't be anybody if you're with me.
Right. Yeah, you're nobody. Isn't that funny? And they say that, like Jesus said, a prophet is not, what, appreciated or accepted in their own country.
Hmm.
And that's because people don't realize, because they think, well, you're just like me. Well, it's true, but inside, that's where it matters, in the inner planes, and who because there's the outer planes and there's the inner planes, and that we're supposed to make the outer like the inner.
Well, yes, and you know, I have a theory about why people don't want to see that and reject the prophet in their own country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're the one that sent me the email about Susan Boyle.
Yes.
And if anyone that hasn't seen the audition of Susan Boyle, you can Google her.
The other day, there were over 50 million people who had watched it when I watched it again.
Well, I've watched it several times.
Me too.
Because when she sings, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. And I have really looked at what that's about, and I have thought about all the people that watched that, both in the audience and on the internet, and all the people that, can you imagine what has happened for all the people that were, say, 47 and their dreams haven't come true and they've sort of given up and now they don't have to try anymore, and then...
She comes.
Yes, and here is someone that You know, in the dictionary under Plain Jane, that's probably her picture. And it's not like she had any of the classic things to help her in the music world. And she just comes up and gives her whole being in song.
I know.
And that is, and when you have a master, that is what they do.
Yep.
And my theory about that is that people go, oh, you can't do that next to me. I'd have to give up my begging cup. Give up all my excuses. You know, like in The Life of Brian, where Brian, who's the Christ, heals this guy, and then he chases him around and going, you can't do that. I was making a good living.
Oh, that's right. I know. I remember that. I was making a good living. Oh,
yeah, with his begging cup.
I know. You know what? I know people like this, and I realize it's like we kind of have our story that we have created that we think brings us prosperity. Like I know this one woman; she is such a fabulous artist, and she has so many capabilities and so much talent. She can do so many things, but all she does is complain. And I can't be around her because, you know, I could see how she's always never has any money, always complaining about it, always complaining about criticizing everybody, blah, 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 when she could be a multimillionaire from all of her magnificent talents. But you can't even tell her because she doesn't want it because she lives on her image that she's basically better than others and she can criticize them and find fault and that she's got all these problems and all these things that she's just struggling with, that's her identity. But it's a false identity. That's really the false ego. And so this is her way, and she wants to live that way, so it's her choice.
Huh. Well, you know what, Terry? I used to, you know, sort of feel helpless and not know what to do
mm-hmm.
with people who were, you know, sort of asleep in that,
mm-hmm.
and I would just go away. But you know what I've found lately
what?
Gives me a great deal of pleasure?
What?
Is to just give them the whole lowdown on my way out, and then if they want what I got to give, they can come back, and if they don't, stay the four-letter word that means fornicate away from me until you want
yes.
to start having a good time. But I had a person that she would send me all these emails about cancer and about different things, you know, in which proved everybody was a victim. And
right.
And then she sent me this kind of nasty email that said, the subject was, will you answer? And I answered.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, you send me all of this stuff, which I don't think is a good way to joke, talk, think about. You know, they had to do with age and what happens
oh, yeah.
to people and stuff. I don't subscribe to that. That's not what I want for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk that way. I don't joke that way. I don't want to hear about it, and it's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sent me an email back and said, you know, I'm sorry I offended you. I'll be more careful what I send you. And I said, you didn't offend me. I'm not offended. It's just not what I want for you, me, or anyone. And so
right.
I hold to that. And so I don't know if I'll get any more emails from her or not, but
uh-huh.
I tell you, she will think before she sends anyone that kind of stuff.
That's right. That's right.
And
yep.
so it gives me a great deal of pleasure to do that, and it's also my million-dollar talk.
Yes, it is. It is.
You know,
it
it's like one person, they ask me to respond, they get the million-dollar talk.
Yep, they get it. Well, I like it. You can always give me your million-dollar talk.
Well, it's just like Susan Boyle. I'm not saving anything for later.
No, I know. And I just love her. And then the funny thing is she's so beautiful as she is, and then what happens is they want to make her over. She's okay, but now we'll fix her. Now we'll make her hair this way, and we'll do her eyebrows this way, and then we'll make her into what we like to see.
Oh, she's, I could watch all day when she did that little thing with her hips.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you, darling?
I know.
That's just one side of me. I agree, Terry. I want her to be herself, and I want it to make space for everybody to completely be themselves.
Yes. Because it's all this mental limitation. It's our thoughts that make us give up. We have, you know, it's like we live on happy thoughts. Happy thoughts are our sustenance of our being. But what happens is a lot of people think it's intelligent to be critical. And to judge ourselves and judge others. And I was, what was it? You know, these critics who are movie critics on the TV?
Mm-hmm.
These are actors who couldn't get a job.
Isn't
that amazing?
You know, my favorite thing about that is, hey, we're the monkeys. People say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and I thought the first time I heard that, I thought if everybody was so busy with their own business and
yes.
correcting their own thoughts and feelings,
right.
Boy, where would we be?
That's
we
right.
weren't worrying about what everybody else was doing.
No, we wouldn't. And that's, you know, if you've ever been to the horse races, which I don't go to now, but in the olden times I did, when I didn't know any better, like not going to the circus now and any of that because it hurt the animals. But the reason they put blinders on a horse is because that particular horse can't mind its own business.
Look straight ahead. Look where you're going and what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was the problem, because it's just looking at everybody else instead of where it needs to be.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's us. Someone told me that years ago, because I would get kind of offset thinking, well, what the so-called competition was doing and feel bad. And I said, no, forget about it. Focus on where you're going. That's really it's between you and God. And, you know, everybody has a relationship with God, only some people, their relationship is, well, I'll pretend God doesn't exist. I'll be an atheist. But that's their relationship. That's how they want to have. So what they do is they close the door to that wonderful, loving, reciprocal relationship that they could be having. It doesn't mean God doesn't exist. Obviously, God exists because we exist. But they're choosing to deny themselves all of that because they don't understand how things happen. They don't understand that they have free will choice, and God doesn't interfere with our choice. You know, we can be as miserable as we want for as long as we want. God still loves us, but we're just torturing ourselves.
Hmm. Well, let's vow to give that up.
I know.
All of us right now.
I know, give it all up, because it doesn't bring us happiness, and everybody wants to be happy. Happiness is our nature.
You know, there's two things that I've been saying every day that I love, and one of them, commanding every day that I love. One of them is, I am the Ascended Master's happy, silent solution, invincibly victorious always over every problem.
Yes.
And this, I got results with the U.S. government without doing a thing. They apologized to me.
Yay.
They apologized to me. You know, through all this bureaucracy and red tape, I thought I was going to have to do 50 things. Instead, I said this a few times.
Mm-hmm.
They apologized to me and fixed it. And I would have had to spend hours, you know.
Right.
Yep. And the other thing is,
These are not the droids you're looking for.
No. I want the God way, the sacred
yes.
fire way, the happy, easy, joyous way that's a blessing to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're all looking for that, but most people don't believe it's possible.
That's it. So what they do is they change their mind. They have other thoughts. Instead of living from divine thoughts, then what happens is we change our mind and we live from fear-based lack and poverty thoughts. And it's our choice. We don't have to do that. But the outer world is so overwhelming for people, and what other people are saying and what other people are suggesting and everything, that instead of people finding out what's the truth and who they really are and living by that, what they do is they succumb to these outer pressures. And then what they do is they have to then take on the manifestation of their thoughts, because it's working anyway. The principles of life are working anyway all the time.
And, you know, we're creating the holy instant with each other, with whatever we agree on as being true all the time.
Yes.
It's like the where two or more are gathered together, they may ask what they will and it shall be done. So if two people get together and go, oh, it's so awful, oh, it really sucks, you know, all
right.
of this. Well, for them, it does.
Exactly. Because they just created the reality by their agreement.
Well, this is what I've been saying.
What have you been doing?
I am the sacred fire's almighty command that the suffering of life, of all life in this world, shall now cease forever.
That's nice.
And I don't care if it's something we've been keeping going because it's our story or whatever it is. I want that part to be over.
It can be open. It's over in a moment. Because people don't realize, it's like the thing they call time out here on the outside, da 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 da, and the outer world is a reflection of the inner world. And all we have to do, it only takes an instant to know who we are. And in that instant, we're living in the kingdom of God. We're not living in hell. We're not our problems don't have, those are created.
And so it's just like tuning to a different radio station.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Tune to the one that gives you joy.
Yes, yes. And then power of repetition, then what we do is we keep affirming that over and over. That's the power of our mantras and affirmations, to keep our mind where it needs to be. Just boil it.
And especially to cancel, consume, and dissolve with light.
Mm-hmm.
All of those repetitious things we've said, which are stuff we don't want.
Right. Yeah, we keep affirming what we don't want all the time by our focus on it. And it's like, see, we're souls, and souls are powerful because we're co-creators with God. We have divine powers of manifestation. I call them mystic powers that we're using all the time. But, you know, and these are like, in a sense, impersonal powers that respond to our own thoughts and our words and our beliefs and our desires.
Say that again. That's real important.
I know. So that we have mystic powers, and these mystic powers we always have and we're always using. So those mystic powers are responding then to our thoughts and our desires and what we believe and what we think and what we hear and what we feel and what we do. We have seven mystic powers.
Ooh, speak on those.
Well, those are I call them our creative powers, and that means everybody has them. What we think. Also, our hearing. Hearing is very important because it's in a sense quiet thinking, and the hearing goes directly to the soul. And as we hear it, if we keep hearing it, after a while we start to believe it, even if it's a lie. So the hearing is very important, that we hear higher truth and hear what we want to manifest, not what's not possible. And then the third is what we think, our thinking, our hearing, our words, what we speak, because the words have power, because we're divine beings, and the words are supposed to be singing the holy names of God and praising God and giving thanksgiving and saying kind words and being loving and all of this is who we are. We are the blessing. And then we have our imagination, what we image. And when we image it, the thought And the concept gets locked in. It begins to really manifest itself because we accept it. And then there's our feelings, our emotions. That souls are emotional bodies. Our souls are emotional. That's who we are. And we're feeling, we're sensing things. We're very intuitive. We're very psychic. We're very tuned in. And the more we do that, the more we can hear God talking to us and telling us what to do and giving us direction. And then we also have those, the power of our activities and what we do. So that's why we say act as if, and you are. So we have these powers, and everybody's using them all the time, but most are wondering, why is this happening to me?
Well, that's six. What we think, hear, speak, image, feel, and do.
And desire.
What we desire. Is this the right order, or?
Well, it kind of, the order starts with hearing. Because if this is the process of manifestation, how it trickles down through the dimensions.
Okay.
So when we hear, that's why hearing is so important. And what a lot of people do is they buy these great big expensive televisions or whatever, and they prop it up in their living room. They sit in their lazy boy chair, get real comfortable, go into the alpha state, which is the programmable state that the hypnotists use, and they get hypnotized into believing everything that is being said and done on the television. Now, what they're going to manifest it.
And listen to a lot of horrible things like loud explosions and bombs and...
Oh, yeah, all of that.
Bullet.
Oh, and swine flu. See, they couldn't get bird flu to fly. Now they're going to try and get swine flu to crawl into people's lives. And listening all this is ridiculous. And then people run out and get all their inoculations. Well, inoculations kill people. They even think that inoculations bring autism to children.
Well, it's also it's like for the drug and chemical companies
to make money.
Total power over people.
That's right. To make it a rule. Remember, you have your religion. It's against your religion. You know, you have to realize that they're going to, if they try and say you have to do this. But so we have hearing, then we have thinking. And what we tend to do is think about what we hear. So the more we hear about it, the more we think about it. Now, what are we doing? We're giving the power of thoughts. And see, what it is, we live on high thoughts, revelations and realizations. These are more important to us than the food we eat for the body, because it's food for the soul. To live on high thoughts, God thoughts, divine thoughts. And so our thinking. So if we are feeding ourselves low thoughts are heavy and they're depressing and they hold us down, where high thoughts are elevating. They're inspiring. They make us feel good because they come directly from God.
And, you know, the thing from the Course in Miracles that says, if you're feeling guilt, it's because you're listening to the wrong teacher.
That's very good.
Oh, you're watching the news.
Yeah, exactly. And it's our teachers. We're agreeing that. I mean, I was talking to this lady yesterday, who I've known for a long time, but she believes everything that she hears from all these things. I said, are you kidding? She says, well, I said, what makes you think these people are telling you the truth? I said, you have to learn to discern the truth for yourself. And the ancient principles and teachings, the cosmic laws and universal teachings, teach us to know the distinction between truth and false.
And what did she say?
Well, I just gave her all this information. She was astounded. But she still has disbelief. She's been conditioned to believe that all these people out there know better than she does.
And everything on TV and everything written in a book is true.
It's right. And, you know, wonder if almost everything we've ever heard or learned was a lie.
Well, yeah, mostly has been to sell something, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And how many businesses and organizations are built around our suffering? Not built around our joy and happiness, but actually would lose money if we're happy and healthy. They make their money out of the sufferings and the sorrows of people's lives. So their intent is to keep people miserable and suffering.
I have a story about that.
What is it?
About 15 years ago, I was doing a radio show, and I was doing classes, too. And I was paying for my radio show, which was quite expensive, out of my classes. And so, and it was because I didn't see any other open door than just going ahead and paying for it, you know, and I was quite willing to do that. But I had it with God as a business proposition, and I thought, you know, I was bringing in money in order to support my service there.
Right.
And so I was told when to do a class and how much to charge for it and where to have it, and I was given really specific instructions, and I had a lot of people enrolled in it. It was going to be a money maker at last. And about 3 days before, people started pulling out.
Wow.
And so I knew something was up, you know. I mean, when people start calling you and saying their cat's having kittens or something and they can't leave, you know something's up.
Right.
So I sat and I said to my guides, and I think everybody's had this little talk where you say, I think you could give me a little bit more help, you guys.
Right.
And there's a few swear words interspersed there. and so I was having that talk with them, and they said, stop. And I said, what? And they said, here's a test to find out if you truly are a healer. I said, okay. And they said, even though you've worked for 12,000 embodiments to be a healer, would you be willing to be obsolete? And I said, what do you mean? They said, nobody would need you. Nobody would pay you. Nobody would have any problems. Nobody would have any problems in their relationship or their finances. They wouldn't need you. I said, okay, well, wait a minute. What would that look like? And I was shown picnics, parties, boat rides, celebrations, you know, christenings, weddings. It was just so, and I said, yes, I would be willing for everybody to have that for us.
Yes.
I would, and I'd be willing to find a new way to support my well-being. I'd be willing. And so they said, fine, you have two doctors in your class. We want you to tell this story and ask them if they'd be willing to be obsolete.
Wow.
as healers. And you know what they said?
What?
In unison?
No.
Fuck no. Loudly. They weren't embarrassed. They weren't ashamed. They had gone to medical school for 12 years, and by God, line up the fucking sick people.
Oh, my God.
And if you look, that's kind of been the structure of business on this planet. It's like more people living on cancer than dying from it.
Right.
And so it's like we've had a lot invested in suffering.
Yes, we do.
And
fear. And they and then people are run by fear. That so that this fear of what could happen, but what they don't understand is that their fears make it happen.
So what they're thinking about what they've heard.
Right. So they have hearing, thinking, and then speaking. They talk about it. So once you start talking about it, you're verbalizing it, and you're also sending it into the vibration. I heard about a saint, I don't know who it was or where it was, I didn't get the name or anything, that was able actually, when people would speak, could see the form of the word. The actual manifestation of the word come out of their mouth.
Wow.
Not just the sound, but the physical manifestation of that word. Because it's there. And in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was good, and the word was Om.
Well, I want to say just the words that I just uttered. I call the violet flame to consume them and make something good for everyone out of
That's
it.
That's very good. Yes.
Yeah. I want only good to come out of
our
what
mouths.
Well, also, Terry, but the point I'm making is I want us all to be able to move smoothly into the era where what we do is supporting the celebration of people's godliness.
Yes, and people have free will. We want it for everybody because we know how good it is, and they'll be happy because we're working for people's happiness and prosperity. And they have free will. So they have choice, too. We can't take their choice away. In the same way, God does not take our choice away.
Right.
So we're here to give them the knowledge and the information, apply it, and use it ourselves, and encourage them to do the same. You know, it's like there's a lot of things like coming up, they say 2012, where, you know, a lot of people have their thoughts and their ideas about it, and there's the Mayans, and there's also what the scientists say and everything. And this one man that he's got some really good information on the moon and Mars and all of this. I can talk to you later about this, but it's that was basically the expeditions to Mars and moons are archaeological expeditions to find the relics of the civilizations that were there before, and they did. But they blocked those kind of out of the pictures, but the real pictures are there. And his name is Richard Hoagland, H-O-A-G-L-A-N-D. Richard Hoagland, he was with NASA. He's really, was kind of an amazing guy. But he was saying that once every 26,000 years, the sun, he's a scientist, so he's not like just an astrologer, but they do take in all of these things into understanding about, you know, kind of how the universe works. And he said once every 26,000 years, the sun lines up with the middle of the galaxy. And not that there's going to be some big thing all of a sudden in one time, but it's actually the beginning of a new time period. And what we're doing is preparing for that. And I believe and feel very strongly that Mother Earth is ascending and that we have come here to help her in her ascension, which is the ascension that is the purification of our consciousness. Is to realize our own divinity and our own godlike nature, not just as an intellectual exercise, but as the way we live our lives. So it's like there's a lot of people who have knowledge, but they don't actualize it because they don't apply it and use it. And so life is our teaching. This is our school. This is our place to learn. And our Divine Mother Earth is that wonderful school ground, but she's also moving into, in a sense, a heavenly planet. All the possibilities are here. So there's a new time, but just like in anything, we need to keep evolving our divine nature into the fullness of who we are. And that is perfect bliss. We are bliss.
Yoo-hoo!
Yeah.
Two votes for perfect bliss.
Because we're pleasure seekers. We want to be happy, and happiness is our nature. But most people don't know how to be happy. They want to be happy without God, and God is the reservoir of all happiness. He's our lover.
Why would we want to be happy without God?
Well, that's only because some people want to be the totality of God instead of being the lover of God.
Well, you know,
they want God's energy, God's power, but they don't want the sweetness of what God is. So they are miserable, trying to, and making everybody else miserable if they can.
Terry, we have 1 minute.
Tell
people how they can reach you, and promise me you will come back.
Oh, I will. I love to be with you, Iris. You know that.
Oh, I love it.
They can go to my website, www.terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Cole, C-O-L-E, Whitaker, W-H-I-T-T-A-K-E-R.com. TerryColeWhitaker.com. And I have lots of free gifts for them when they come that I think that they will enjoy. I know they will. And I love you, Iris. You're the best.
And I love you, Terry. You're the best. I wrote down half of everything you said. I am so grateful to be on the planet the same time as you.
Ditto.
God sent you to play with me. I am so happy about that.
Thank you, my precious darling.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Dawn, for creating this station. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.
Jai.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!